like to encourage all of you to follow me on Facebook or Twitter or both. You can friend me on Facebook. Just send me a request. Mike McFeely is the account, and I use it to promote the show and have some fun and post photos and videos and all that stuff. And I get interaction with listeners and with other Facebook friends, and it's sometimes we get in fights and go back and forth and all that stuff. But I friend everybody, so send me a request on Facebook if you'd like. Mike McFeely, M-C-F-E-E-L-Y. You can follow me on Twitter at Mike McFeely, K-F-G-O is my handle. Have some fun there too. Get out some smart aleck comments and get some conversations going on Twitter. I'm also on Instagram, which hasn't taken off for me, Pinto. Instagram has not taken off for me.
I'm not surprised.
I have like 130 followers.
That's a lot for you. The Instagram thing to me is, let's put it this way. Are you a model in your, say, between 35 and 25?
You're looking at me. What do you say?
No. So you're not going to get a lot of followers on Instagram. There's no point.
It's all about like female celebrities.
Well, for me, it is.
Celebrities in, well, yeah.
And we're only concerned about me in this question.
Let's go to State Senator Jason Frerichs. I'm not sure how to segue from Pinto's selfish small world in which he lives to get to a state senator who's serving the great people of South Dakota, but we'll try. State Senator Jason Frerichs from Wilmot, South Dakota. How are you, my friend? We haven't chatted for a while.
Well, good afternoon, Mike. I'm doing pretty well, but you know, just a little frustrated. We just left the Senate floor, and we got a gold company in the Black Hills who just got a $300,000 tax break. It's just ridiculous.
Why would they do that? Why would your friends on the Republican side of the aisle vote to do that, Senator Frerichs?
Well, they're worried about the 150 jobs they say that this company's going to pull out and leave. But their taxes are about 3.5% of profit, which most of those companies have to pay anywhere between 5% and 6%. So passed by one vote, and one of our new appointed senators switched his vote at the last minute even to let the bill pass. So it's coming back. We'll vote again on it. Maybe we can defeat it.
But let me ask you this question, because this comes up in North Dakota when it comes to the oil extraction tax. And we always hear that these companies are going to pull out of here. They're going to leave all these jobs, blah, 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 all this stuff that they talk about. And my argument always is, well, but the oil is here. So as long as the oil is here, the companies are going to be here. Somebody will try to extract the oil out of the ground. Wouldn't it be the same with gold in the Black Hills? If the gold is there, they'll find a way to make money off it?
Absolutely. It's a resource, and it's an expendable resource, just gold and oil, very similar. And so a little bit different battles, probably smaller scale between South Dakota and North Dakota and these severance taxes, but certainly you can just turn the page, similar situation.
I want to talk with you today about the water access bill, because you and I, we're friends, and you've guest hosted my show, but you and I think see this issue just a little bit differently. And what you've been batting around in the South Dakota legislature is, I see it as a way to keep sportsmen off of bodies of water that are covering private land. And it's back to that argument again that, you know, South Dakota, the northeast part especially, is in a situation like Devil's Lake where you have acres of water covering what was once private productive farmland or pasture land. And some people say it's a private property issue, that why should people be able to get on a body of water for fishing or hunting if it's covering private land? And I said, well, my argument's always been is that water is a public resource. It's public access to water. And if it's covering land, then we should have access to it. And I know that you have a little bit different take on that, but where do we stand in South Dakota on that topic, Senator Frerichs?
Well, most definitely a little bit of difference, but in the end, I certainly would agree with you, Mike, that when there's a resource such as fish out there and these new bodies of water, it serves the public well to be able to utilize that resource in a respectable manner. And so, anyways, where we're at this year for session, Senate Bill 169 came forward. It was primarily based from the governor's office. His ag officials kind of started moving this forward. They worked at ag and game fishing parks, and we had a bill that we looked at about a dozen different drafts to try to figure out what are some possibilities and how to answer the question Supreme Court gave us 10 years ago in a decision called Parks versus Cooper, as far as trying to determine public access to these new bodies of water. And you accurately stated it, Mike, this is private land underneath water that makes its way up next to a road right of way. And so anyways, the bill came forward this year, and I signed on to the bill because I think we need to answer that question, and we need to find an answer to the problem that plagues northeast South Dakota, and it spills a little bit even just all the way down the eastern portion of our state for the most part, which we know we're in the prairie pothole region of the United States. And so we move forward, and yet early on, since the bill was introduced, there continued to be some strong concern from landowners and for sportsmen, for that matter, who felt they were giving up too many rights as far as access. And so the landowners kept saying, you know, we just simply would like some type of compensation for the use or giving up that land that now is for the benefit of anyone who wants to utilize that public water and trust. So that kind of became a sticking point as we move forward. But what was most disappointing in this process, the bill came up a week ago on the Senate floor, and I had an amendment that did some adjustments to the road vacating language that I felt was pretty fair to both sides, just allowing vacating in certain circumstances, make the fields a little easier to farm and whatnot, but still maintain one public access. But anyways, when we had that amendment up, we clearly could tell that there was not any appetite to amend the bill. And the prime sponsor, Senator Cory Brown from Gettysburg, he just wanted to push the bill forward and move on. But we did a delay tactic, which pushed the bill off to this week. And yesterday we got to the Senate floor. Still no amendments were being considered. I even had a meeting with a number of all the stakeholders, and we tried to see what may be some feasible amendments, but nobody wanted to budge. And so there really wasn't a negotiation that took place. And so what happened, we got to the Senate floor yesterday, and the prime sponsor, that Senator Brown, he tabled the bill because we were at a point where nobody was willing to give, and obviously both sides dug their heels in, and it's a tough situation, but we're back to status quo, and that's what some people ask for, but still it's not a good situation.
Well, if you have to come to some resolution as directed by the Supreme Court of the state, then that, you need to make progress one way or the other, don't you? As a sportsman, as an outdoorsman who respects landowners and who, plays by the rules, you know, I believe that I would be hurt if I couldn't get access to certain bodies of water. And I don't think that I cause any trouble. But even if a law comes out of the legislature that wouldn't allow me that access, you have to find some sort of resolution, don't you?
Absolutely, we will. And that's where we will be tasked again this summer. And I would compare this bill too, and it, I think, is a fair stretch on this, Mike, would be look at Senate Bill 46, and that's something that we passed unanimous last week in the Senate floor, and that puts in place the felony for animal cruelty, the most extreme malicious acts that could happen, but also has strong livestock protections. That bill faced strong opposition to anything similar to that other years, and over the summer, our state veterinarian worked with the ag groups, with the Humane Society type of people and South Dakota interests, and brought everyone together. And even when we got to session this year, there still were the naysayers out there who said that this is taking away my rights, or this is going to cause undue harm out there amongst the ranch country. But we answered every single one of those questions. And in the end, we all bonded together because we knew, we were confident it was a solid piece of legislation. And so that's where we're going to need to be. I mean, it doesn't do any of us any good to keep battling, you know, sportsmen versus landowners, because I know last year when I talked to you about a similar bill on the non-meandered waters, that was a landowner's bill that came forward, House Bill 1135. Sportsmen were rightfully disappointed and outraged by the content of that bill. This year, we heard from the landowners being disappointed in the bill, so we just really have to pull together, and I'm a little more hopeful. We look at some new members or potential new members of the legislature next year. That may help a little bit, just because we'll have some new blood. Some of us have been beating this around for a while. I think, again, myself, I plan to run again, but I do know there's some others, and even those that I disagree with, but still, I think we can bring everyone together. But again, it's going to take a fair amount of negotiating, and certainly that was not happening here the last couple of weeks.
Well, and you know what? I wanted to get to the animal cruelty thing, but you touched on it. But I was proud of South Dakota for passing a felony in the case of extreme animal cruelty. Yeah, that was something that I honestly didn't think that South Dakota was going to do, just knowing the makeup of the state legislature, but I'm proud of South Dakota for doing that. The other thing that I like coming out of South Dakota, Jason, was that the discrimination bills that were put in, those were shot down. That the state legislature in North Dakota said, I'm sorry, in South Dakota said, we're not going to do that. We're not going to make discrimination legal in South Dakota. What do you think about that?
Yeah, most definitely. I'm very proud of my colleagues. I mean, that was an issue that transcended geographics across our state and political parties and whatever. We all agreed that, and various religious factions all agreed that it needed to go down, that those were not in a state where we should ever encourage discrimination. We certainly know that businesses still have the right to refuse on various circumstances that any business owners will work through under current situations. So it was not needed, and it just was definitely a shot across the bow. And I'm glad to see that there initially was a bill introduced, and I know you and I talked about it a little bit, and then it was withdrawn, and then this bill came back again from another person, a different sponsor, and it only, I think it received two votes in committee, which, sure, that's probably two votes too many, but it definitely had strong support to defeat the bill, and it the issue's done.
But it took both parties to stand up and say that this is wrong, and both parties defeated it, right? I mean, together.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. That, yeah, both parties, male, female, whoever it may be, yes, and you'd be surprised that it wasn't just Tea Partiers that voted for the bill. Tea Partiers were even against stuff like this.
Perfect. All right, Senator Frerichs, I'm behind my break time. I have to run. Thank you very much, sir, but come back again soon, okay?
Thank you, Mike. Always fun.
Yep, you bet. Senator Jason Frerichs, Wilmot, South Dakota, and he's